So what do you think about this weather we got? I can tell you one thing, I'm not going to miss the cold, and I'm not going to miss the snow. And I'll tell you another thing that I'm not going to miss, all those arrogant posts from Florida that tells us how warm it is down there. Or how many holes of golf they played. But I can honestly say I humbly smiled when it was 40 degrees in Miami and in the southern part of the state. So, but anyway, we're thankful that the Lord has allowed the spring to come our way. I guess it would be the 20th of March that spring actually arrives, but I'll take it early. I guess probably you guys would assume that I'm an IU basketball fan, huh? Well, we got some other guys here too. I know Steve Rector, he posts on the internet all the time on Facebook about IU, but see, I can't help myself. I was born into it. From the time I was a small boy, my dad and my brothers were all IU crazy fans, and it just carried over into my adult life. I can talk smack with the best of them. And I can Monday night quarterback also. I watch almost all the IU games, and if I can't get to them, I went to Northern Ireland for a couple of weeks, and as far as I could DVR them, I got them all on my DVR so I could watch them when I got home. And I must confess, I'm a diehard IU fan that loves the Hoosiers, and I love them at all times. When I had a job, if you walked into my office, all you would have seen was IU memorabilia. You know, autographs of Bobby Knight and autographed basketball by Calvert Cheney and pictures of Damon Bailey when he was a freshman. I got into the locker room one time as a guest of Bobby Knight and got to get all the signature, all the autographs of all the players on a couple of pictures that I had taken. And so I'm just deeply red, and I'm red to the bone. And I even was a fan during the Mike Davis and Kelvin Sampson years when we struggled like we did. And now even with Tom Crean, things are not going so well. But, you know, if you're a rooted and grounded fan, then you're a fan at all times. See, even though I'm a great IU fan, and you know, I like Purdue this year. I never thought I'd say that, but I really do. I like Matt Painter really well. He's a man of honor, and he's put together a great team. And he started out the first of the year not doing real well, but now they're finishing real strong. So I'm happy for them too. But let me just tell you one thing, guys. That does make me a basketball player. I love the sport. I love to watch the sport. And as a matter of fact, I can remember 60 years ago that I used to run up and down this court playing church league basketball all the time. Now you pretty much dated me, didn't you? But see, it doesn't make me a basketball player because I grew up in a red-to-the-bone family and do all the crazy things that fans do. Just like growing up in a Christian family, doing all the Christian things doesn't make us Christians. We have to have that moment in time that we refer to that we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And by receiving Jesus our Savior is the only way to have intimacy with God by way of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can put all those logos on our cars and we can wear all those Christian shirts. And we can go to church, and we can sit in the pews, and we can grow up in Christian homes and not have a born-again experience. The same as I can be a fan of IU, and that doesn't make me a basketball player. So what we're going to talk about today is intimacy with God. And in Matthew 15:8, describes the Pharisees this way. And if this is a topic that God has brought upon my heart, the last year, and even the last time that I spoke, I talked some about this, is that I think that we have a lot of people in our churches that have never had the born-again experience. They grow up, they believe, but they've never really had that moment in time where they can reflect back and to say that, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, and this is the time frame that I received him. Not necessarily that you believe, that you remember the actual date or the time, but it's to have that experience. It says in Matthew 5:8, describes the Pharisees this way: these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That description seems to fit most fans. Many fans have given their minds to the study of God's Word, but have never surrendered their hearts. It's not gotten from their head to their heart. These men who had plenty of knowledge about God, but they didn't really know God. This is what often separates the fans from the followers. It is the difference between knowledge and intimacy. Fans have a tendency to confuse their knowledge with intimacy. They don't recognize the difference between knowing about Jesus or knowing him personally. In our teaching and learning, we often get this confused. We have established systems of learning that result in learning, but not necessarily intimacy with God. The problem isn't knowledge. The problem is you can have knowledge without intimacy. In fact, knowledge can be a false indicator of intimacy. Clearly, where there is intimacy, there should be growing knowledge, and that gets a little bit thick there. Where there is intimacy, there should be a growing knowledge. And where there is knowledge, there should be intimacy. But too often, there is knowledge without growing in intimacy. I'm getting kind of stuck together here. Part of the proof that we have intimacy with God is the fruit that we produce. Are we producing godly fruit? Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. What is this good works that we should be producing? We find the answer in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. If we have the fruit of the Spirit, we will produce good works and have intimacy with God. I believe that God works can only come out of intimacy. I believe that only good works can come out of intimacy with God. If we love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind and soul and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, we will have intimacy with God and produce fruit and good works. How do we get there? This is a topic that God has challenged me with the past several months. It can only come as a result of recognizing how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Francis Chan, in his book, The Forgotten God, believes that the only way to intimacy with God is by way of the Holy Spirit, which we often neglect in our spiritual journey. Are you spiritually empty, guys? Are you searching for something more? Perhaps you are missing out on God's presence and power through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left us, he sent us the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us in our lives and ward off lukewarm Christianity and embracing full, passionate love for God and his creation. When believers live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. And the church cannot help but be different, and the world can't help but recognize it. Just like they did in Acts 4:13, the scripture says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Oh, to be a common, uneducated man, that people would look at us and say, he'd been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have people say, it is evident, and then fill in your name, has been with Jesus. And Jesus would be uplifted and glorified by our witness. My prayer is that the world recognizes that we have been with Jesus. When we tell others about the great gathering every Wednesday here called The Huddle, will they be astonished and say they have been with Jesus? And I want to have what they have and know what makes them different from the world. Empowering people with the Holy Spirit is something God wants to do. He wants us to walk in His strength. When Jesus was on earth, he said to his disciples, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him?" And that tells me that we should be asking God for more of the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous process of being filled with the Spirit. We receive the Spirit when we come to salvation, but it's a continual process of growing in the Holy Spirit. And that is Luke 11:13. God challenged me with that scripture. I pray that scripture continuously, all the time now. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that will ask? All of this leads to a question we cannot escape. Does God really give His Holy Spirit to those who ask? Or was Jesus lying when He said this? It really comes down to your faith. Do we believe that God keeps His promises? Do our prayers and actions give evidence of our beliefs? Do we not ask for more of the Holy Spirit because we fear He will want more of us? Or may ask us to do something that we don't want to do? He's asked me many times to do something that I didn't want to do. He may ask us to get out of our comfort zone. He has asked me many times to get out of my comfort zone and to trust Him. At first glance, I was intimidated and afraid that I couldn't do what He was asking me to do. I also believe that in these moments, we have to push past our fears and our insecurities and trust God to equip us for His calling. Anytime God has called me for His purpose, I go through a process of questioning myself and questioning God, saying, "I'm not ready for this. I'm inadequate." He says, "I will be with you." And I say, "You have the wrong person." And He says, "I will be with you." I say, "I may fail." He says, "I will be with you. I will help you speak and teach you what to say." See, God's strength is made in our weakness. I say, "I don't have the right skills." And God says, "Trust me. I will be with you. I will help you speak and teach you what to say." I say, "Someone else can do it." And boy, that's a big one. It's always easy to look around to somebody else and say, "Let them do it. Let them do it." I say, "Someone else can do it." And God says, "I will be with you. This is for you alone. Trust me." And I can honestly say, guys, through personal experience, He has always delivered. Once I press past my fears and perceived abilities and place my faith and trust in Him, in these instances, we have to let go of our will and the grip of control of our lives and accept His will, pressing on for Jesus. Have you ever felt this way? Inadequate, unprepared, unwilling, scared, or simply, "I don't want to do it"? That's a big one for me. I mean, I like my time. I like to watch IU basketball. But thank God for that DVR. God says, "Trust me." Let's look at how the Holy Spirit can help us push past our fears when we purpose ourselves to not quench the Holy Spirit. Yeah, guys, we can quench the Holy Spirit. You know how I know that? It says it in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, a number of things should be part of our life. We should dwell on these promises. We should dwell on them literally, meditating on them and asking for them. The Holy Spirit helps us speak when we are in precarious situation and needs to bear witness. I'm not going to say all these scripture references because they're all on your handouts. If you want to look at them, it'd be a great thing is to look some of them up. The Holy Spirit helps us speak when we are in precarious situations and need to bear witness. The Holy Spirit, we receive power to God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit who draws people to the gospel, the Spirit who equips us with the strength we need to accomplish God's purpose. The Holy Spirit not only initially draws people to God, He also draws believers closer to Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us strength for extraordinary tasks. He helps us speak for Christ. Only He can give us a change of heart. He helps us understand the Bible. He urges us towards worship and salvation. He gives us everlasting peace. He gives us power to live a Christian life. He convicts us of our sins. And He helps us discern false teaching. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. The Spirit sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. This is a lifelong process we enter into in partnership with the Holy Spirit from the time we first believe. Through the Spirit, we have received a spirit of adoption as children, which leads us to intimacy with the Father. Instead of a relationship based on fear and slavery, the Spirit bears witness to us that we are His children. Have you ever had anybody ask you, well, how do you know you're a Christian? I bet everybody in here that's professing Christian says that. I've had people ask me that, well, how do you know you're a Christian? I just know that I know that I know because the Spirit bears witness with me and lets me know that I'm a born-again child of God. That's how I know, by the way of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He does this both before we initially enter into a right relationship with Him, and as we journey through this life as believers. The Spirit brings life. The Spirit brings us life and freedom. Where the Spirit is, there is freedom. There's not bondage or slavery. And some people ask, you know, well, why do you do this and why do you do that and why are you involved in so much? Because God blesses me so much and gives me that inward peace to be involved in different things. And I don't do it out of bondage and I don't do it out of slavery. I do it out of love for God and love for His people. As members of God's kingdom and community, each of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit in our lives for a purpose of the common good. We all have something to offer because of what the Spirit gives us. As I stated before, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Are you lacking love in your life? The fruit of the Spirit is singular. If we have the Spirit living within inside of us, we should have all of these. Do we lack love? Do you lack joy in your life? Do you lack peace in your life? Are you a patient person? Are you kind? Are you a good person? Are you faithful, not only to God, but to your friends and your family? Are you gentle? And do you have self-control? These attitudes and actions will characterize our lives as we allow ourselves to be grown and molded by the Spirit into an intimate relationship with God. I mean, we can't do life on our own. These are the very things the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Father tells us to ask Him for more of the Holy Spirit. And we can ask Him confidently because we are asking for things that God has promised to us in the Bible. May we grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit more and more and ignore Him less. Understanding that the Holy Spirit lives within us if we are born again Christians. He ministers to us and leads us and He loves us and He moves us into intimacy with God. As we grow in the Spirit, we grow in a deeper, intimate relationship with God. The Christian life in all aspects, intellectual, ethical, devotional, and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Holy Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from Him, not only will there be no believers and lively Christians, there will be no believers and no Christians at all without the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks to our heart and convicts us to salvation. The Holy Spirit works to glorify Jesus. Yet so many who emphasize the Holy Spirit seem to draw attention to themselves. A sure sign of the Holy Spirit working is that Jesus is magnified, not people. Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." When the Holy Spirit moves, God is the one praised, and Jesus is the one lifted up, and not man. Let us pray that God would empower us by the Holy Spirit so radically that we would get no glory, that people would see our good works and glorify God. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to empower us as He sees fit. Ask Him to supernaturally enable us to move and to love Him and others. And let's trust Him to display miracles for His glory in His time and in His way. Let's trust Him to do good works with us and through us. We have only touched on a small part of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. In the Life Application Bible, I counted 76 passages that refers to the Holy Spirit. Why is that we neglect the importance of Him? I hope this stirs your heart. I hope it stirs your interest to know more about the Holy Spirit as I have been stirred to know more about Him. Let's pray. Father, I praise You and honor You and thank You for this opportunity that You've given each one of us to be here and to learn more about You. And I thank You for the time that I've spent with You learning more about the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that these guys would open up their hearts. They would open up their minds and they would begin to seek You through the Holy Spirit. So we praise You and honor You. I pray, God, that there will be open discussion at the tables, God, that there would be no confusion, no misunderstanding of what You wanted to be displayed today. I pray, God, that Your will is done. I praise You and honor You in Jesus' name. Amen.